If it seems like we're going backwards in our journey through Mark's gospel, it's because we are. Before we go forward, I ask you to remember our reading from Mark 10 about 4 weeks ago now. And in it, Mark was introduced us to Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth who was passing by, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he was told to be quiet. But instead, he shouted even louder. And then Jesus told his disciples to call him. And when he approached Jesus, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus restored Bartimaeus' sight, and he joined the group following after Jesus. Many, many would see as our story continues. And what he would see, I have chosen to call an unlikely Savior. Jesus would be a conqueror, but not the kind of conqueror the people hope for. May we too see as the story continues. You see, Jesus is journeying and has been journeying to Jerusalem. And he's coming from Jericho in the west. And he comes with a growing number of followers to observe Passover. And Passover is the commemoration of the Exodus from Egypt. And it's a significant marker for the Jewish people. And the calls to care for the poor and those disenfranchised in the Old Testament often bear that same rationale, one of God's deliverance of the people from Egypt. And those who celebrate Passover gather to mark the deliverance God has already brought to the people of Egypt by freeing them from enslavement. You see, the Lord is already known as the one who delivers and as the one who saves. And Jesus comes offering deliverance as well. But our unlikely Savior will offer a different kind of deliverance than what the people hope for. Jesus passes through the villages of Bethany and Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives has eschatological or salvation implications. Zechariah 14 anticipates nations gathering in Israel for battle, and God himself leading the battle. Now, in the historical contents of Zechariah, the words related to the rebuilding of the temple and to hopes for a renewed Israel. But this hope of things to come is fairly prominent in the first century. Now, the people of Jesus' time were hoping that they would be released from Roman oppression and that the occupying forces would be driven out. And so what happens? Our unlikely Savior sends two disciples into the village to get, of all things, a donkey. And he describes what they will encounter and what tells them what to say if they are questioned. They are to say that the Lord needs it and will return it soon. And events occur exactly as he has predicted. We're beginning to get some clues that things are not exactly as they appear. And so often we read the Bible as if everything is by necessity and design. And most of us don't expect to laugh or to be delighted. But this scene is really kind of humorous. Jesus instructs his disciples to steal a colt. Let me take a moment and update the story to current events. It's almost as if what was happening was Jesus saying, go into the city and there you'll find a car with the keys in the ignition. Bring it here. And if anyone questions you, tell them the Lord needs it and we'll bring it back right away. We promise. Imagine what the response of bystanders would be today. You see, the text leads us to believe that the disciples calmly walked up, untied the donkey, and returned to Jesus, who successfully mounted it and rode the colt. Now, I'm not an expert on livestock, on horses or donkeys, but let's just pause for a minute and think about the practical aspects of this scene. Donkeys sniff humans to distinguish friends from strangers. The disciples who came to get the colt were obviously strangers. So bringing this colt to Jesus would start out being problematic, wouldn't it? Why would that colt willingly go along with the disciples? Even a young horse might react to a new potential rider by running away or seeking to protect himself. Now maybe this colt knows who Jesus is and is divinely inspired to comply. I think there's room for some faithful imagination here. Did you ever wonder how the disciples who stole the colt would tell the story to others? Did the donkey balk on the path? Jesus is bending the expectations of what's normal. And in this bending of our expectations, there's some humor and some joy. He is an unlikely Savior. Going back to the Old Testament, Zechariah 9, that celebrates the coming king entering Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. Now, Zechariah's words, of course, refer to history. But often, things that happen in the Old Testament reoccur, change slightly. But those who were faithful followers knew those Old Testament stories. And so when it happened in the time of Jesus, there would be triggers that would make them recall. what was in Scripture. Part of the reading from Psalm 118 that was repeated was in Jesus' book of worship. It would have been scripture that he would have learned as a young boy. And they were written hundreds of years before Jesus appeared on earth. And then we get to the next part, spreading of branches and clothes on the road. What's that all about? You know, people didn't have washing machines in those days. So to lay your clothes on the road was a big deal. The people of Israel had a tradition that if something was valuable, if something was pure, or something was holy, that they would wrap it up to protect it, creating a kind of a boundary between the holy and the unholy, or the valuable and the not so valuable. So the people were bringing what they had, and they were offering it. Their clothing, branches cut from the field, branches that there might have been produce growing on. They brought things that mattered. Now, we don't get a lot of detail about who these people were and exactly what it is they believe about Jesus. Are they the ones that had followed him throughout his journey? Are they pilgrims that were visiting from afar? You see, at that time, the Passover was a pilgrim festival. The only place that Passover could be observed was Jerusalem. And so people would travel there to do so. Were they farm people, people from the country, rather than people from the city? Who were these people that were laying down their clothes? Hosanna. Hosanna means save us. Please, save us now. That's what the people shouted to this man sitting on the donkey that came into the city. Do we ever think that today? Save me. Please save me. I need someone to save me. And Jesus will save you. Just maybe not in the way that you're thinking. I believe that if anything, Palm Sunday reminds us that our ways are not God's ways. See, our ways are to show power and strength, you know, by trying to dominate. But God continually lays down his power. God covenants with us, the people, throughout history, instead of dominating us. God promises us an abundant life. He shows us how to live. God's desire throughout scriptural history is not punishment, but restoration. Jesus came not to judge us, but to save us. And so he embodies God's desire for us by living as one of us and laying down his life for us. He enters Jerusalem not on a war horse, but on a donkey. Not on a red carpet, but on the coats of the poor. May we, in our time, in our place, be as excited, as convinced, as the people in the crowd who said, "Hosanna, Lord, save us now." Amen.